I'm Dan Pierce, and this is Pressure Cooker.
I said I will never wear the hijab or give up my mini skirts. Never.
It's the outrageous story of two misfits living on the fringes and how they became the central players in a sprawling terror investigation.
We just hung out and played video games and smoked weed and did what we do, you know.
Pressure Cooker is available on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast. A controversial BC RCMP unit is facing questions about whose interests it is protecting. Critics say the Community Industry Response Group, or CIRG, acts as private security for private industry. This unit was created in 2017 to police resource protests in British Columbia, and it gained notoriety for controversial standoffs in Wet'suwet'en territory and in Ferry Creek. Hundreds of people were arrested during anti-logging protests in Ferry Creek. An investigation by CBC's The Fifth Estate looks at questions about how this unit operates and what happens to the complaints filed against it. Fifth Estate host Stephen D'Souza traveled to Wet'suwet'en territory in British Columbia to meet with Indigenous leaders who are facing off against CIRG.
We're surrounded by tactical officers with guns. They cut off the internet.
They're outside the window.
Oh, they're outside the window.
The inside of the trailer was dark, the only light coming from the windows, one with a red protest flag draped over it. The trailer was packed with clothes, office equipment, and supplies, everything needed for what had become a weeks-long occupation of a controversial drill site. And standing against the door, Indigenous leader Molly Wickham wasn't about to give it up.
Do you have a search warrant or an arrest warrant?
Outside in the snow, dozens of police officers, many in green military-looking uniforms, were getting in position.
Walking to the door, they're breaking it down.
Shards of wood went flying into the trailer. More light and the dark barrel of a rifle appeared through what was left of the door.
Gun off me! Lower your gun! This is sovereign Wet'suwet'en land!
That was all caught on video in November 2021, but it still brings a visceral reaction as Wickham recalls what happened.
At one point that I turned around and I had to sit down and I just felt like throwing up. I felt nauseous because it was just overwhelming.
Kate, you're under arrest. Stand up for me.
Those arrests ended a 56-day occupation at a key site in the construction of the Coastal GasLink pipeline. It was the latest in a series of standoffs between the Wet'suwet'en and a controversial RCMP unit, the Community Industry Response Group. The unit is also known as CIRG. It was created to police resource conflicts in British Columbia. RCMP officers are chosen from across the province. The RCMP says they're given special training in de-escalating situations, crowd control, and how to enforce injunctions. They're also given training to deal with Indigenous cultures. The specialized unit is meant to be deployed anywhere in the province, anytime. With sweeping mountains and valleys covered in dark green forests, Wet'suwet'en is an Indigenous territory nestled in BC's central interior. Those forests are marked by excavators clearing a bare brown stretch of land. It's the path of the controversial Coastal GasLink pipeline. Its very existence here, a source of pain for Wickham. The Wet'suwet'en see this as unceded territory.
We have never sold, surrendered, lost in war, or treated, signed any treaties to give up title to 22,000 square kilometers of territory.
Under Wet'suwet'en law, this is their land. The Supreme Court opened the door for that title to be recognized under Canadian law, but that hasn't happened yet, making the decision to build a pipeline here a question not just of resource development, but identity and sovereignty.
I actually get really offended when people call us protesters because we're not. This is not something that we're just doing or opposing. This is us as Indigenous people, as Wet'suwet'en people, fighting for our right to be who we are.
The Coastal GasLink pipeline is a $14.5 billion project with backing from the province all the way up to the Prime Minister.
Today's announcement by LNG Canada represents the single largest private sector investment in the history of Canada.
Major installation of the pipeline was completed in November. Once the new LNG facility is finished on the BC coast, natural gas will flow across the province, destined for overseas markets. The provincial government hopes it will pump billions into the BC economy. But even as Coastal GasLink touted buy-in from Indigenous groups along the route, there were protests.
You don't have consent to enter our territory!
In 2018, with protests blocking the main road to Coastal GasLink work sites, the BC Supreme Court issued an interim injunction against those protests. The injunction would continue throughout the entirety of construction, as would an order for the injunction to be enforced by the RCMP, setting the stage for the showdown with Wickham and other Wet'suwet'en hereditary leaders.
You're in breach of the court injunction. If you remain here, you will be arrested.
This is a clash between Indigenous law and colonial law. In these cases, we're saying colonial law doesn't have jurisdiction, but it's also unjust, and the police are being used to enforce this unjust law.
Since 2017, the RCMP has spent more than $50 million on Kyrg, on helicopters, staff, and tactical equipment.
They have the ability to choose how they are enforcing the injunction. They don't have to come in with militarized police.
So they are members that have been selected, you know, because they have good people skills. They get specific training in how to de-escalate situations, how to deal with crowd control issues, protests.
John Brewer was the Kyrg commanding officer. Now he's a top commander at BC RCMP's headquarters in Surrey.
We just want to show you a quick video of a specific incident, which I think you've already sort of alluded to, but I just want to show you and get your reaction to what we're seeing here. I'll start.
This is Sovereign Wet'suwet'en Land!
Axes, chainsaws, I mean, you see the officer at the door. Is that reasonable to enforce the injunction?
For hours, we had been trying to call them out, and we were very specific on that. You're under arrest. Identify yourself, come on out. They didn't identify themselves, nor did they come out. So we have to go in. They're breaking the law. And so we did it as safely as we could.
Kyrg's enforcement of the injunction put it under a microscope. The unit is facing hundreds of complaints, an external review, and a number of lawsuits and civil cases. In 2017, the wide open plains of South Dakota became a battleground. With black armored vehicles and police with water cannons on one side and anti-pipeline protesters on the other. Those scenes partially influenced the BC RCMP's decision to form Kyrg. With growing protests over domestic resource projects, the RCMP were concerned Standing Rock would inspire similar occupations here. On a gravel road deep in the heart of Vancouver Island, about two dozen people huddle together, their arms linked. It's called a blob, and as they press up against a line of blue uniformed RCMP officers, all hell breaks loose. Long lines of pepper spray shoot out into the crowd of anti-logging protesters. It's 2020 in the Fairy Creek watershed. Amidst towering trees hundreds of years old, the Community Industry Response Group is about to make national headlines for the first time.
And the guy, like all of them, masked up, no identification.
Raven is Anishinaabe from Quebec and came to Fairy Creek in 2021. She says she was arrested four times. In each case, she alleges Kyrg officers used excessive force and violence.
I mean, they pretty much pulled my shirt up at this point. My pants were pretty much taken down. So, like, I was pretty much exposed. They were also holding me down by my breasts. They were holding me down by
Fairy Creek was the site of some of the largest acts of civil disobedience in Canadian history. Protests against logging of old-growth forests. Raven says her story is a small...
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
All sample of what Kurg is alleged to have done. Like in Fairy Creek, in Wet'suwet'en territory, officers were often seen with cameras recording their interactions. Never far away, orange-vested pipeline workers and security personnel contracted to Coastal GasLink, or CGL. That's a company building the multi-billion dollar pipeline.
There's a guy with his phone trained on us right now.
Yeah, so he's filming.
Wickham says private security monitors their movements constantly, and she says it's all shared with the RCMP.
If Kurg is on the territory, they always stop in and check in with private security.
Yep. Hello, guys. Hey, what's up?
Not too much. You guys just have recreational or?
No, we're waiting for someone who's behind us.
Okay.
Yeah, you good?
Yeah. I feel like as an Indigenous woman in rural areas, like we're really far out in the middle of nowhere. You know, if something happened, do you think that I would feel safe to call the police?
But former Kurg commander John Brewer says they work with both industry and Indigenous leaders.
You know, we are impartial on this. If you're breaching the injunction, we will deal with it. If you're breaking the law, whether it's industry or protesters.
Wickham's arrest in 2021 highlights a debate here. How and when the RCMP enforced the injunction, and how both sides have very different views of the result.
That site we're talking about there was where the company was starting to do prep work for their drill pad site. In fact, they were breaching the injunction and breaking the law.
When we're occupying our territory, when we're enforcing Wet'suwet'en law in our territory, that restricts their free access to our resources.
But there are questions about what else might have motivated the RCMP to move in on the Wet'suwet'en camp when they did. 2 weeks before the RCMP raid, then-head of Kurg, John Brewer, received two letters urging the RCMP to do something.
I think the fact that LNG Canada and TC Energy wrote personal letters to the RCMP to enforce the injunction shows their entitlement in believing that this police unit is designed to protect their interests.
Shiri Pasternak is an assistant professor of criminology at Toronto Metropolitan University. She studies Indigenous justice issues and Kurg.
Absolutely, they crossed the line by writing directly to the RCMP, but I'm glad they did because they showed very clearly and very directly that they feel entitled to call the National Police Force directly and to insist that they enforce the injunction.
We put that accusation to John Brewer.
One of the accusations against Kurg and the allegations is that it's essentially an arm of private industry. What do you say to that?
Yeah, that's absolutely not true. Remember, there's an injunction in place granted by the Supreme Court of British Columbia.
Kurg officers are facing 265 complaints from its enforcement in Fairy Creek alone, from improper use of force to neglect of duty.
These are practices that we need to be very, very careful about, because if they are used here against one group, where are they going to be used again?
Lawyer Karen Mirsky represents dozens of protesters charged in Fairy Creek.
The video that I have seen has really been characterized by, I would say, a level of disrespect for people's civil rights. Do I feel that the Kurg followed the letter of the law? No.
Raven, the Anishinaabe protester, alleges Kurg would use excessive force during arrests.
We had at least 15 officers on each of us, if not more, to the point where they grabbed us and they had slammed us down. And they were just on top of us right away, so they were pulling each...
We took that allegation to John Brewer.
We've talked to a number of protesters who allege that police are using pain compliance techniques in arrests. Is that part of the standard policy?
In some cases, yes. If people are grabbing onto something, we don't strike them. We will use a pain technique to get them to release. It doesn't hurt them.
Raven also alleges Kurg officers conducted cavity searches on her.
They'd pull the pants all the way down, rip up the shirt, and they made sure like they were definitely extensively checking certain areas.
It's one of their stated tactics of the protesters is to make as many complaints, public complaints.
So you're saying these women who allege these kinds of cavity searches, this is a tactic on their part?
Yeah, I am. This has never happened.
There have been allegations of excessive use of force. So kicking, pushing, choking, punching, kneeling on protesters. What do you say when you hear that list of things?
So again, as I've said before, no arrest looks pretty. It's a violent act. We try to de-escalate as much as possible.
The violence in Ferry Creek led one Kurd member to speak out. The Fifth Estate obtained letters and emails through Access to Information. His identity is redacted, but he's a 13-year veteran of the force who walked away from Kurg. While stationed in Ferry Creek, he says officers described smashing windows of abandoned cars, confiscating protesters' personal property, and how he was told to drive those they arrested to a town an hour and a half away just to make it harder for them to return, actions he called not justifiable. He wrote Kurg officers would joke along with industry workers and security about the effing hippies. And to piss off the so-called hippies, he said they were ordered to remove their name tags and given thin blue line patches instead.
So we specifically investigated this. We met with that officer, show us the evidence, talk to us, give a statement, and nothing was forthcoming. You got people screaming at you, people throwing things at you, people resisting you. You're outnumbered 90% of the time. That's not something that every person can do, let alone every police officer.
The officer also wrote, I saw enough to know that I did not want to be involved, and actions were certainly a departure from what we practice at our home detachments. Brewer says policing these protests is dangerous.
They emerged from the forest around midnight in February of last year, firing flare guns and swinging axes into the side of security trucks.
He points to a late-night attack on CGL workers in February 2022. Worker video shows a group of 20 masked people.
The estimated damage as high as $20 million.
Video taken the next day shows construction equipment mangled, trailers destroyed. To date, no arrests have been made.
My police officers have been assaulted. They've been attacked. Our vehicles have been burnt, right, targeted by arson.
Brewer also says at Ferry Creek, protesters deliberately try to make arrests difficult, like using a sleeping dragon. That's where a protester chains their arm to a concrete or metal pipe that's then buried in the ground, usually in the middle of a narrow logging road.
We have people that have bike collars around their necks, suspended 30 feet in the air on a rickety tripod. They've got themselves in sleeping dragons dug into the road, and we have to extract them. We have to make those arrests in very difficult situations. At every time, the emphasis is on safety.
But a BC judge also had harsh words for Kurg. In Ferry Creek, he said the RCMP's interference with the liberties of the media and public was substantial and serious.
I've been here for 4 weeks covering. I've never been pushed back this far before. Media's allowed to be here.
Pushing the media back and arbitrarily setting up so-called exclusion zones.
We're done. Doesn't matter. Want to be arrested? Feel your boots. It doesn't bother me.
She's done nothing. I was very polite with you.
Molly Wickham says Kurg is there to protect property, not the people who live on the land.
The priority is always profit over people, especially Indigenous people, especially people of color.
The Fifth Estate took a close look at the complaints against Kurg. Complaints are filed with the Civilian Review and Complaints Commission, the CRCC, an independent agency. But the RCMP is given the first opportunity to investigate the complaints. Of the 560 complaints, most didn't fit the oversight criteria, so were rejected outright. So far, the RCMP has dismissed more than 85% of the allegations from Ferry Creek alone, and no officer has faced a disciplinary hearing.
It's our job as police officers to enforce the law. We don't pick the law. We don't make the law.
Do you have any regrets about how things have been handled in the last few years?
No, I don't.
Wickham says the CRCC is simply not effective.
I don't think that they have any real teeth to do anything. I think that there needs to be political will to actually make some drastic changes.
The CRCC is conducting a systemic investigation of Kurg, separate from the complaints process. It will look at its policies, procedures, and how it operates. But the CRCC says so far, they've received little to no information from the RCMP.
We're not just saying they should be nicer when they come and remove us from our territories. They shouldn't be removing us from our territories. They shouldn't exist here on Wet'suwet'en territory.
Kerr continues to operate, even with the pipeline through Wet'suwet'en territory complete and logging in Ferry Creek on hold until 2025. But Indigenous communities here say no matter what happens to Kerr, bigger questions about land rights remain, and the answers won't come from a special police force.
I always tell people these need to be resolved by governments, not the police. We are not resolving, 150 years of conflict staring down the barrel of a gun.
Stephen D'Souza is a co-host of CBC's The Fifth Estate. The Kerr unit, we should say, has been renamed as the Critical Response Unit in January.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.